Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hello everyone, you are welcome to another podcast from The Game on Sunday. Mikey Lester here with you. Thank you again for joining us, and also thanks to Martin Carney and Tomás Mulcahy, who as usual join me to talk hurling and football. And Tomás, why not talk hurling first? Because of course we had silverware handed out last weekend, and congratulations to Clare.
Oh, absolutely, Michael. And look, I kind of took a dive in the box last Saturday because my son was home from overseas, and I said we'd go to Turles to watch the league final, but the weather that fell and the rain that fell, I said, I want to sit at home and watch it on TV. But it was a fascinating match, Michael. I mean, weather conditions leading up to this, we were saying, would the match go ahead? But I think the GA probably had no alternative but to actually get it played. I know there was talks of maybe going from a Saturday to Sunday because of Storm Kathleen and was hitting the country at that stage, and you had yellow and orange status warnings. But the match went ahead. Now, look, it was the first match at Turles for a good number of weeks because they were trying to prepare that pitch for championship and stuff like that as well. And some areas weren't the best. But can I just say, and I know a lot was made about the football side of it the week before. This was just as enjoyable, to be honest with you. And we had said last week, the two best teams were in the league final. The two teams that I had seen at the start of the year through their campaign were guys that wanted to push on to go to a semi-final, get to a final and win it, right? And it turned out to be that way. It was a fascinating battle, and the physical strength of this Clare team is something that I'm getting a bit of excited about, because you know, when you play Kilkenny, you're going to get it hard, you're going to get it tough, but these guys really stood up to it, and there's some fantastic performance throughout the field, Michael. It was very, very impressive by Clare.
It's interesting because Brian Lowen, obviously the manager and a tough defender himself. So I suppose you kind of bring your own philosophy to what you want from your team.
You absolutely do, right? And you know what, Michael? I listened to him post-match with all these interviews and stuff like that. And you know what? He was absolutely a joy to listen to. No nonsense, no getting carried away. It was similar, as you just said there, like he played himself, or the style that he played with, the bit of aggression, match with the hurling, and he's bringing that to this Clare team. And it was just great to listen to him, not getting carried away, but look, he had something in his mind in terms of they had lost the last two All-Ireland semi-finals to Kilkenny, and they just want to put down a marker for themselves as a team. As a unit, he mentioned, as a unit, every one of us, that we can take this into a championship campaign. No point in putting doubts into somebody's mind or losing the league final. We wanted to win it. So it's going to give us the confidence to take it forward to Sunday week above in Ennis with that evenly rated game against Limerick. And I thought it was fantastic. And Kilkenny on the other side, we know they're going to show up. We know they're going to turn up. And they'd be disappointed in themselves and say, how were they down at halftime? They look to be in a bit of a very good position. Periods of that first half, they were dominating, missed a few scoring chances. But killer goals cost them dearly. One before halftime and one just after halftime. But it was really, really enjoyable game in Harding in difficult conditions.
We can't do anything about the weather, I suppose. But maybe we could do something about it, like play the championship a little bit later in the year. But anyway, we've been there, we've done that.
Yeah, look, and look, there's a couple of guys standing out for me in terms of Clare. You have Mac Rogers and Aidan McCarthy. Aidan McCarthy gets 2-10, he gets 2-1 from play. You have Mac Rogers, kind of maybe the go-to man, delivering the ball inside for a lot of the scores. But the one man that stood out for me, and I've watched this guy closely in a lot of the league games, has been David Fitzgerald. And that's not David Fitzgerald, the manager. This is David Fitzgerald, the player, the number 8. He got a goal just after halftime. But the physical size of this guy, you know, you can get a lanky, skinny guy, 6'4", 6'5", and you're trying to get the best out of him. This guy seems to have everything. His hurling, his presence, his physical presence, but his physical strength. I mean, he was breaking through tackles there with Kilkenny. He was getting on the other side of the opposition and laying off ball for scorers. And I think the balance with Clare is very, very good in terms of physical strength, some of the younger generation, the smaller guys, and working it that well. And, you know, you're seeing Tony Kelly sitting in the stand and people are saying, can he get into the team? Will he start come championship day? If he's fit, everybody will want to start Tony Kelly. But have they missed him in the league? No, they certainly haven't.
I suppose the thing about it is, like, Limerick have kind of set a benchmark, as Kilkenny did before them, in terms of how you play Harding, you know, how you set up and all that kind of stuff. But Limerick definitely have brought that kind of, I won't say physicality, strength. And you just mentioned it there with David Fitzgerald. That kind of powerhouse guys kind of around the pitch, kind of, you know, that you just can't knock off the ball.
No, and yeah, look, and that's where, I mean, we've seen it in other sports over the years in terms of S&C. S&C has become the big words in terms of GA, in terms of intercounty setup, in terms of club setup. You go across the ladies, football and camogie, everything is about S&C, strength and conditioning, and certainly within Clare, they're certainly getting it right, because when you look at their team in terms of Conor Cleary at fullback, you look at Dermot Ryan, you look at David Fitzgerald, you look at John Conlon, you look at kind of Fergus Duggan there, Conor Duggan as well. Massive, massive presence. And you can have those in either line, and then you can bring in some of the runners off the shoulder players with more hurling skill and stuff like that, and balance the team. And certainly people are looking at Limerick and have been all the back. We've got to match these guys on the physical stake. And certainly, I think Clare are up there at the moment.
Yeah, but well, can I just mention a point on that, Michael, what Tomás is talking about? It was awfully encouraging, Tomás, is what you've mentioned. It's very refreshing as well. It's to listen to you speaking about two teams playing where they both wanted to win the league title.
Absolutely.
Where they wanted it really badly, and they played as such, or with, you know, all their might to go and win it. You know, the previous week in the league final, in fairness in football, you had an outstanding one between Dublin and Derry. But so many teams before that were talking, we don't need to get to the league final. We don't want to be in the league final because it impacts on our preparation for championship. Whereas with hurling, it's different. It's actually, it's a forerunner. It's nearly, it does you good to get to a league final, in the sense it sharpens you and it prepares you for the pace and the physicality that you're going to experience later on in the summer. And that's what, from listening to you, comes across.
Yeah. And that's the positivity, Martin, of winning as well, right? If you had lost and you took a heavy defeat and you're sitting back as a management team on a Tuesday night and you're doing your analysis and your stats, do you start changing guys around, or do you kind of get negative thoughts? Oh, this guy isn't good enough. Can he deliver on the big occasion? If you're Brian Lowe now, you're sitting down and saying, do we find a place for Tony Kelly if he's fit? Yeah. Do we go starting 15 that we've been putting out consistently over the last couple of weeks? Shane O'Donnell hadn't started a whole any league campaign. He came in the second half. He was a breath of fresh air when he came in as well. He changed things when Kenny started coming back into the game. And likewise with Derek Ling on the other side as well, you know. I mean, he got a big blow in terms of TJ Reid pulling a hamstring prior to the game and not being available. So it gave him another opportunity to see some of the younger guys. And we had mentioned this in the last couple of weeks, like, you know, Adrian Mullen, Cody and all these guys, if they can fit in with a TJ Reid in that attack, they're going to be some team as well come championship. And I'd say they're disappointed themselves because they owned the game for a good part of the first half and should have been maybe further ahead at halftime, got caught with a sucker punch. And then, like Kilkenny, they just never give up, Martin. And that was very key. The last 10 or 15 minutes, when it looked like Clare were going to pull away, going to dominate the second half because of the goals they scored.
Yeah.
Kenny just relentless, and they kept going and they kept going. And only for maybe a bad penalty by Cody, you know, you would have hit the ground, bad surface, kind of killed the speed of the ball, and it was an easy save for Coolagan goal. Yeah. If Kilkenny had got that, they were actually back in the match, maybe to go on and win it, you know. So I really, really, I must say, I enjoyed that league final.
Yeah, brilliant.
It was fantastic. Looking at the reports of all the matches at the weekend, which was mostly football, obviously, the weather dominated, I suppose. Martin Carney, you were in, I'm reading here, sun-drenched Gaelic Park in New York at the weekend.
I was, indeed. And
Michael, can I just say it to you, did you not see any of the footage? Did you see Martin Carney and one or two others with that regulation in Times Square? Did you see those? They were doing a bit of dancing and stuff in Times Square.
Actually, Tomás, Carney sent this around the place.
But I edited my own involvement out of it, Tomás. But no, it was just an amazing weekend altogether. Like when we flew into New York on whatever it was, Friday, we came in an earthquake. And the pilot says to us, sorry, we can't land because we're afraid of the runway might be able to take us. So we sat for a good while. And then the next thing he says, he's lost contact with the tower. So Jesus, all I was worried about, are we enough tether in the plane and stay up here?
I hope you had your rules being smart with you.
Oh, look, I'm not the greatest of flyers, but then when we were leaving, we left in a solar eclipse, so there was something surreal about the entire weekend. but the Saturday night, answering Michael and Tomás, the question, a lot of the Mayo people who had come in for the weekend from all over the United States, in fact, I met a man from Belmullet after the match, and this is no word of a lie. He was from Ochlium, down on the very tip of the Belmullet Peninsula. He immigrated to the United States in 1963 and spent two years in Vietnam. And the chat I had with him was just magnificent. But that typified it. It was an opportunity for families to kind of get together again. There was lads from parishes who were in maybe Vancouver, Chicago, all came into New York for the weekend. And it was carnival time in a big way, in a social way. And even like, you know, we were talking about the weather. I sent out a video last night, actually, to give you an idea of what it looked like. It was during the national anthem, actually. And it was sun-drenched. It was absolutely beautiful. And it was, you know, from a footballing point of view, okay, Mayo were always going to win the game. But you have to credit New York in the way they remained competitive throughout. And they had some lads, good lads from, I think, who had played county football back here, a lad called Emmett O'Connella at centre field, I thought, was very impressive. And a couple of lads up forward was a Frank O'Reilly and a Killian Butler. And they were competitive. Mm-hmm. I felt, and this is something that would worry Mayo, they got two goals. I think had they been able to hold Mayo scoreless for a few moments afterwards, for 3 or 4 minutes afterwards, they might have built on the oxygen from those goals, but they conceded quickly. And they created two other goal chances. So I'd say when you're talking about your Tuesday post-match analysis, Tomás, earlier, I think when Kevin McStay sits down this or sits down and reflects on this, it'll be one of the areas that he will look at. How did they manage to concede two goals and at the same time actually present two further chances to New York? And at the other side of the field, they may have scored two themselves, but they weren't clinical. They butchered, I would reckon, five good chances. So they have a lot of work to do ahead of the game against Roscommon on Sunday week. But from a social point of view, from a Cardinal point of view, it was a great, great, great weekend there and an awful lot to do.
How many Mayo people were there, Martin?
Well, I don't know how it got out, Tomás. It went around the county a few weeks ago as the place to go for the weekend. And there was an awful lot of family. And that's been honest with you. No matter, like as I said facetiously, you know, you saw so many Mayo jerseys. It was down in Union Square the other day, down at the tip of, you know, the Battery Park. And there was people with Mayo jerseys. I just facetiously said, like, Jesus, I'm surprised when the fourth man landed on the moon that there wasn't a Mayo jersey there before him, because they were everywhere. But what it was essentially guys from parishes. I know I met an awful lot of my past pupils that I would have taught in Swinford, Jerry Rowley, Seamus McDonough, among two who I would have taught maybe 40 years ago. And they all came in just for the game and a great chat with them afterwards. And overall, that typified what the weekend was about. It was just a gathering of the clan. And at the best of times, Michael, and being a Connacht man, you know that they bring a great support to whatever they actually involve themselves in a sporting sense.
And Martin, 100%. There's absolutely no question about that, Martin, on a slightly different level, but connected to that. I remember a few years ago being in San Francisco and I was standing outside the hotel, and the next thing, this motorcycle cop, I mean, he was classic, you know, he was the classic with the sunglasses and lavender hats. He pulls up and he gets off the bike, and I'm thinking to myself, have I done something kind of, you know, came over to me and he said, well, how are they all in Barnadard? That's where I come from, Galway.
It is extraordinary.
His name was Kerwin, and I went to school with his cousins and etc. and so forth. You know, as you said, you know, it's one of the a lot of places around the world, but America is great because of its Irishism in certain places, you know, and you just put your finger on it there, Martin.
So you were nearly in the streets of San Francisco, saw Michael with the cop behind.
Reminding himself of Steve McQueen going up and down in the movie Bullet. Knowing your love of cars.
Did you hop on the back or anything, Michael, for the spin or anything, huh?
Moss, there was a disco establishment in Salt Hill back in the day called San Fran Disco.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
I don't know.
Mark, can I just ask you, in terms of last weekend now, does that only apply to Mayo, Galway and Leitrim that they go to New York? Is it?
No, all the counties rotated. Like this started in 1999. It's only in its 25th year, so to speak. And every like last year, they would have experienced the first win ever at home that New York would have that beat Leitrim after extra time.
That's right.
And next year, I'm not sure who's going next year, but it'll be either one of Roscommon, Galway or Sligo. But it's a great opportunity for, first of all, maybe New York to kind of, shall we say, in a footballing sense, prepare for something. Now, what I found out when I was over there in speaking football and in speaking New York football is that you had only four of the team that beat Leitrim last year. The turnover has been huge. And the turnover is probably due to the fact that their work has been maybe in other areas of the country. So I know a lot of them have gone to Chicago since. But the fact that they could actually, shall we say, be so competitive with such a turnover is a great reflection on the people that actually are trying to keep football alive there. And the other thing about it, Tomás and Michael, it might be a very trivial thing, but the decency that the ordinary public were treated with or by the New York GA people was extraordinary. And it was a great compliment to them. They made everything so easy for you around Gaelic Park and showing you where to go, et cetera, et cetera. You know, in a lot of grounds we go to, you have kind of maybe people that don't do enough, such, shall we say, to give an impression of goodwill and hospitality and all of that. You had it in abundance in New York. And I think for the New York GAA, it was a great day out. And, you know, it'll give them also, remember, to come back here now in a few weeks' time and they'll play three Tulton Cup games. So that is their season, basically. But it's a forerunner to the Tulton Cup that they'll play again in June.
Yeah, and look, I don't. You thought I was mad then talking about a World Cup, you know? My God, I mean, could you have more of that? Because what you're saying there, it was just an incredible weekend from a GAA perspective. I mean, overseas, wasn't it? You know, I mean, massive crowds. I don't know if we can get carried away about it, but if this is to happen with some other counties and stuff like that as well, or Chicago, I mean, you're saying. Yeah. The size of Chicago and, you know, the Bostons of this world. Is there an avenue? Maybe there's not, you know, maybe there's not.
What you see at the end, I don't think really there is, like, overall, but at the same time, because to get these things up and running, you need great workers, you need great volunteerism. And I'm not sure in other cities, I'm not saying it isn't there, but the degree that you need, I think, is extraordinary. And it's a credit to the people that are doing and keeping the game alive in cities like New York, and can actually, shall we say, host something in the way they hosted that last weekend is the greatest credit to them. Whether they can replicate that in other cities, I'm not so sure. I wouldn't have.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
The experience of those.
Michael, I met a man in Cork last Wednesday, and I was meeting him on business, and he says, look, I have to go now, Tomás. He says, I have to get back to Mayo, and he was trying out at 1 o'clock or 1:30 or 2 o'clock at overtime on the Thursday or something like that. Anyway, Martin, but he says, we're meeting at 8 o'clock in the morning at the airport just to get ourselves ready to make sure we're there in time. And he said, every plumber, every tradesman, every electrician, every carpenter is in Mayo. They're all going. For a couple of days.
Yeah, and it was like, for example, you know, Aer Lingus flights were full. We flew United Airlines, myself and my daughter went out in United Airlines. It was full of Mayo people. So even from the point of view of, I know people will be traveling in airlines anyway, but no, there was just a mass exodus from the county for those 4 or 5 days. And a lot of people maybe built their summer around it, maybe the summer holidays around it, and took families out. And I saw certainly when cycling in Central Park on Monday morning, 10 people with Mayo jerseys, and it's just kind of freaky. She just kind of shake the head a little bit, keep going and just enjoy it.
Where they lying down, Martin.
I've often said to Tomás and Martin, despite the fact that I'm from Galway, and obviously Galway and Mayo are traditional rivals down through the years, apart from seeing Galway win an All-Ireland, the next county that I would personally like to see is Mayo. Because as you put your finger on it, Martin, as a Donegal man who played for Mayo,
yes,
they just, it's incredible. Like, the football in Mayo is stronger than it is in Galway. But no, that's kind of because Galway is a divided county between hurling and football and that kind of stuff, you know.
Eat and breathe it. They eat and breathe it, Michael. There is no doubt about it. Exactly. It's just a way of life with them. You know, I go in at 7 o'clock in the morning, I'm an early riser, and get the paper. And like, you'll always have some book will come in and be given out about the fact that the only forward that's playing at the moment for Mayo is Ryan O'Donoghue. He scored 113 last weekend. And what are the others doing? And why are the others not scoring? And will your man, if he comes back, not make an improvement or that? And you engage with them in conversation and you come home then and have not one, but maybe two cups of tea and get ready for the day. But anyway, no, it's brilliant. It's brilliant.
Golf test, I guess the next day for Mayo, because this is back in the college championship against Roscommon. And by the way, a huge thank you to our sponsors, Club Rossi, who are the fundraising arm of Roscommon GEA and celebrating their 10th anniversary this year and have done huge work in the redevelopment of Dr. Hyde Park and also the Dermazardi Centre of Excellence down there. But Mayo and Roscommon, Martin,
it'll be tasty. It'll be tasty, Michael. There is no doubt about it. Because Davy Burke, I say, is just kind of, you know, he's been waiting to get this opportunity to play Mayo. In fact, I would nearly say his season or his tenure with Roscommon will depend on how this particular game goes. Because, you know, I think, like he said, some reasonable, I suppose, successes in the National League. But nonetheless, at the end of it all, his team got relegated. And, you know, the game in Hyde Park and all of that, and with the forward line that I think he has, I mean, he has, the likes of Darragh Craig, Deirdre Murta, Donny Smith, guys like that, I think are very, very talented players. And he'll want to actually, basically, beat Mayo, not put up a good show, but beat Mayo. And I think he'd have seen last Sunday that the Mayo full back line was very vulnerable on long high ball put into it, and their forward line as such was a little bit, shall we say, underwhelming, and it certainly would have been had it not been for the presence of Ryan O'Donoghue. In fact, Ryan O'Donoghue's 113 last weekend against New York was the highest score by any player out there since championship games were played. But he'll feel that if he can neutralise Ryan O'Donoghue, if he can get his own forward line playing to their optimum, and like, you know, they're quite capable of beating Mayo. Now, they had a National League game, I think, the first weekend of March, and Mayo beat them quite easily in that by 15 points to 9. But he'd want to turn this around. And again, from the point of view of, you know, wanting to get a good championship and all of that, and a good championship run later on, Kevin McStay will need this. They will want to, in a wee personal sense, put one over in Kevin McStay. Kevin managed Roscommon. He lives, you know, very, very close, shall we say, to the town, would know an awful lot of the players through his involvement with St. Bridget's. So there will be a niggled in this. There will be a needle, and there will be a Roscommon team very, very primed and looking to actually kind of, shall we say, make their advancement in the championship and replicate what they did last year. And also probably they're listening to Mayo complaining last year about the only reason they lost to Roscommon was that they played on the weekend after winning the National League final. So he'll want to kind of just say to himself, maybe Davy Burke and the Roscommon players, well, listen, now we're on a level playing field. Let's go out and beat them again. And it was certainly no more than the championship game between Clare and Limerick, you know, a local derby. This local derby between Roscommon and Mayo also carries a lot of purpose, a lot of promise, and it's something to look forward to.
There's no question. Speaking of games at the weekend, Martin, some interesting results. I mean, maybe the best game of the weekend was the Monaghan-Cavan match.
Yes.
Great performance by Cavan.
Great performance by Cavan. Again, just two little things to bring in. I was in a pub watching it, Michael, Sunday morning, and alongside it, you had Manchester United.
That's actually not like you.
I know that, but nonetheless, Man United were playing Liverpool as well on a second screen beside it. So you kind of
I've been out with you on social occasions, Martin. You're the minor match, you know. So
very much so.
You've gone home early, Michael. Is it?
I'm on the hindquarter, I'm afraid, Michael. Not even the minor match. I let Heath points with the big stock and the like, kind of, as I say. Just watching the big news.
His big breakfast roll, I'd say. That was about it.
I go for the nuts and berries. Come on. But no, it was again, you were talking about it, Tomás, in your earlier conversation about the bad weather, and that they had Clonus looked quite heavy. There was only a crowd of in around 8,000, which surprised me in a way for a championship game. But nonetheless, it was a great win for Cavan. I mean, Paddy Lynch, I think, again, his become quite significant for them in the forward line. He got, I think, a goal in six or a goal in nine at the weekend. But Monaghan will be a little bit disappointed in the outcome, obviously. And, having been a Division One for the 10th, for 10 years on the trot, okay, they got relegated this year. But they would have fancied their chances against Cavan. And I just thought, though, in fairness from what I saw, that Cavan were the more impressive team, better organised. I thought, again, we've talked about this in the programme a few times, this idea of the wandering goalkeeper. My God,
I was just going to hit you with it, Matt. Yeah.
Honestly, it's some country and western singers out there waiting to make a song about it because it's a new phenomenon. And sure enough, Tomás, he got hit with the third goal on it.
Got hit, yeah, I watched it. Yeah, I saw it.
There's a song out there, Martin, from way back, I'm a Wanderer.
Yeah, but that had a little bit of rhythm to it, Michael. I'm talking about a dirge now. You need a dirge. You need a big Tom kind of, shall we say, version of the wandering goalkeeper. But like I said earlier, the two goals that Mayo maybe could have conceded at the weekend, one of them was the same thing, Tomás. It was a consequence of the goalkeeper being, out of the area he should have been in. But just from a tactical point of view, what a lot of managers are doing, they're using their goalkeeper as their sweeper in front of the full forward and full back. I've noticed that in a number of games, and I think even this morning in the paper, Darrow Shea is writing about it, about the Kerry goalkeeper Shane Ryan, and also maybe just this phenomenon that has become part of this year's league, and we saw it again in the championship last week. But in fairness,
who was making that up, Martin? Who was actually deciding that is the way the game has gone, or that's the way we should play?
I don't know who's decided it. Like, I mean, you saw Oran Lynch, the Derry goalkeeper. You saw him being caught out in situations like that. I feel myself it was it's a Jim McGuinness phenomenon. That is something maybe he has brought into the game last year, but it is certainly what was just in seedling form last year has certainly blossomed into something a lot more obvious to the eye this year. And it'll be just as the championship evolves, it'll be fascinating to see, does it continue, or do managers kind of go back and just, shall we say, insist on the traditional role being carried out by the goalkeeper, and that is staying between the sticks, delivering good kickouts, and also actually executing good saves. To me, that's the way it should be. But again, I'm old-fashioned, I'm afraid, and younger managers, with new ideas, are looking maybe to have the role of the, shall we say, the roving goalkeeper. I don't like it, to be straight up with you.
And this is Martin and Tomás. It's not just about Gaelic games. We see this across the board. We see it in soccer in particular. You were saying there, Martin, that you watched Liverpool match. And that's it was right. A fucking howler by the Liverpool keeper at one stage, because he wasn't in the same parish kind of when United scored one of their goals.
Yeah, that is true. But again, to blame Kevin Kelleher for that, I think is it was an awful square pass by one of his defenders.
Well,
that
it was.
That exposed him and that. And here I am again, kind of with the green, white and orange flag around me, trying to bat Kevin Kelleher's corner, because I do believe myself as an Irish man, he's done remarkably. As an Irish player, he's done remarkably well since he's got his opportunity instead of the injured Alisson, you know. And I'd love to see it continuing that way.
Yeah, no. As I said, that wasn't his fault. It was a defender fault. I accept that. Yeah, but Wicklow and Westmeath, Martin, at the weekend, win for Wicklow. And I'll put that in the context of not making excuses for Westmeath, but Desi Dolan, their manager, was talking about this over the last couple of weeks because they had a good league campaign, promotion and so forth, but the number of games coming at them, and they got beat by Wicklow, and fair play to Wicklow.
Well, fair play to you. We mentioned it actually on the podcast, I think 2 weeks ago, that game of Wicklow's or of Westmeath's last weekend was their fifth weekend in a row playing a competitive match. And again, for amateur players, you know, pretty demanding. And I know I'm again maybe going off track a little bit. I was just asking the other day some people involved with Mayo about their training schedules. The training schedules, 9 guys had to come 3 times a week from Dublin. Think about it, Michael. The training sessions are a minimum of 3 hours. They don't get back until 1:30 in the morning or so. And like, okay, in fairness to Westmeath, they're close at hand, but between training and playing, the demands were huge on them, and I just don't think they were sharp enough. Now, I know it was only, you know, they were well behind, actually, I think, midway through the second half, and they finished very well. But fabulous win for Wicklow. Machine McConville will be thrilled with it. But you know what I think the team to gain who will gain from it overall, I think, is Kildare. I think it has opened the way for Kildare to actually kind of go through now to a Leinster final. I feel myself that Kildare would have struggled with Westmeath. But Westmeath's demise, you know, in particular after winning the Tailteann Cup 2 years ago and playing in St Maguire last year, they possibly could end up going back, I think, now again to the Salton Cup, and that'll disappoint Desi. There's no doubt about it.
And annoy him, I think, as much as disappointing. Let's swing back, Tomás, to Harding again. We talked about Clare, about their win in the league. Great achievement. But it of course, gives us tasters. Now, there's a big game coming up in Ennis, obviously. Where is Harding at? Where is Munster Championship at going forward? In other words, can Limerick dominate again?
Yeah, and it's interesting, Michael, you know. I was watching the Late Late Show last Friday night and the GA launch of with RTE in terms of the championship campaign and stuff. And I kind of said to myself, Is it only football championship is being played this year? Because I didn't see too much in terms of the Harding side of it. And if that's the case, they're missing out on an awful lot. Because what we have coming ahead in the next couple of weeks will be greater than I think we've ever seen over the last number of years. Because of the makeup of the championship. And it's interesting, you take your sports... Your sponsors of the All-Ireland series, and they all have their own little kind of launches and previews of the All-Ireland series, and they bring in the players. And like some of the players, even Conor Whelan out from Galway, just reading up and kind of saying the demands of the players, the timing, you know, the Aston Gleeson situation in Waterford packs it up because he could no longer keep going with the demands in terms of the physicality, the personal demands. And I'm reading a lot more of that, right? And that's coming from players, which I have a concern about, right? And it's coming from players in terms of, we have all this, and they've alluded to what we've been speaking about, Michael, this year and last year in terms of the compactness of the championship and stuff like that as well. And they'd have less free time. And look, I hope Jarrod Barnes at the end of this will have the common sense and say we need to look at this, but we can't change that now because we have over the next couple of weeks is going to be just incredible. And look, I said to you last week, fellas ringing me and still ringing me for tickets to get in tennis, and you've Cork versus Waterford below in Walsh Park. you have other matches going on in Leinster, and the excitement is gathering, and it's gathering with me. And what I saw last weekend in terms of the league final, it was like championship fair in difficult conditions. And we're going to get that week after week in the next couple of weeks. And then suddenly it'll all be gone and disappear. But I got to be positive here. And I said, look, I'm really looking forward to it. I think the battles are going to be incredible. And if you're a Limerick supporter or you're a Clare supporter and you've got that tickets to get into Ennis, I think you're going to be in for a massive, massive occasion.
Oh, I think there's no doubt about that. And as you said, Tomás and Martin as well, in terms of the championship, which is now upon us, you know, with respect to the league, which is great, but this is what it's all about. You know, this is why we all follow it, you know.
It is, Michael, and we get a bit of fine weather that they can get in and they cut the grass, and they can cut it tight, and you can get the smell of the grass when you wake up in the morning, and you know it's championship time. Championship time is here.
Do you know the great thing about the weather not being good at the moment? It's not good in Dublin, and I presume it's the same around the country and that kind of stuff. My good lady wife Anne is in Madeira at the moment, enjoying the sunshines. I'm supposed to be cutting the grass.
got your excuse.
Well, I do, because you cannot cut wet grass, as far as I know, unless you want ciders, right? Something like that, you know. So I'm not. I was looking at the weather forecast there earlier on. I'm off the hook, I think, until about Saturday.
You could also get the remote one, Michael, that you could sit inside the window with your remote control in back and let the lawnmower off.
Knowing my ability to boss with technology, the remotes will probably end up in the kitchen destroying all the fucking dove or something like that. But anyway.
Going down the cellar and you're the carriageway.
lads, go back to work or whatever you're doing.
I go watching the hurling game between Clare and Limerick. That's what I'm going to do for the morning.
Do you know what? Just on a closer, I need to get sense. Since Anne has been away for the last couple of days, I get access to the television. And if you know, I'm watching 1960s sort of videos or films of Freddie and the Dreamers and The Searchers. And, do you know the way some nights I'm saying, why am I doing this? Kind of, you know.
You went off a night.
No, that's the lovely Michael.
A big thank you again to our sponsors, Club Rossi, the fundraising arm of Roscommon GEA, celebrating their 10th anniversary this year and doing a lot of great work, obviously down in Roscommon and in Dr. Hyde Park. Thanks to the lads. Thank you for listening. See you next week.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itsinas.
Kayla Itsinas. I'm Kayla Itsinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.